الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد ومن يعص الله ورسوله فلا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا أما بعد استغفر حسبنا الله سبحانه وتعالى تحاوط العيد وقدس العراق to be with them in their times, hardest times, in the atrocities that probably the Summa never seen an atrocity like that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be with our youth in Iraq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala aid our men in Iraq, our brothers in Iraq. May Allah aid our sisters and widows and orphans in Iraq. May Allah be with them at this time. When the old Ummah came down upon them in this massacre, and subhanAllah, you can't give words to explain that what they're going through. One of the pictures my father seen on TV on Al Jazeera is a woman. Imagine this, a woman, she got bombed or shrapnel came into her foot or her hand. And they took her to the hospital. When they took her to the hospital, they have to undress a portion of her body to give her medical treatment. And she's saying, La chalhoni. Don't take my clothes off. She's in the middle of dying, and subhanAllah, this was a woman probably, she came from the town, she never seen foreign man or foreign man, or showed her body to anyone. SubhanAllah, you know, my father started crying for about 15 minutes, couldn't stop crying, almost passed out when he seen that it is indeed something that a heart weeps for if the heart has Iman and Islam in it. But alhamdulillah, that shows the aqidah that, you know, everything bad has something good to it. And it shows the aqidah that we teach and the standards of the enemies of Allah to the Muslims. So we start off today, inshaAllah, with clause number 20. Imam al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, says, He Allah, read it, Saeed. Everyone should have this in front of them. If you don't Allah gave everything living a certain lifespan where it will die. The first thing, as we always do, is take the proof. Imam al-Tahawi presented this, but he has proof for it. The proof for that, first of all, is كل من عليها فان ويبقى وجه ربك ذو الجلال والإكرام. سورة الرحمن verse 27 or 26 and 27. Everything is gonna disperse, everything is gonna vanish except Allah. And actually the things of Allah in this verse it says, كُلُّ شَيْءٍ هَالِكٌ إِلَّا وَجْهَهُ. Everything is gonna be dispersed and fade and go away except the face of Allah. Surah Al-Qasas, Al-Qasas verse number 88. فَإِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ فَلَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. If their time comes, they will not be able to delay it a moment or proceed to receive the amendment, yes. Which one of them? Certain cases, كُلُّ شَيْءٍ هَالِكٌ إِلَّا وَجْهَهُ. Everything is gonna be doomed and vanish and go away and die, basically, except the face of Allah. فَإِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ, if their time comes, they won't be able to proceed at one moment or delay it another moment. That's in Surah An-Nahl, An-Nahl, verse number 61. وَمَا كَانَ لِنَفْسٍ أَن تَمُوتَ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. No one can die. You think I can take a gun right now and put it to my head and kill myself? But no one can die except by the will of Allah. Even the time where one kills himself, it's by the will of Allah. In Surah Ali Imran 145. Ali Imran 145. You can get these, you know, later, look at them and write them in Arabic or memorize them in Arabic. That's the first thing, of course. You're better than my German. Everyone has a fixed lifespan. The second point, if someone gets killed now, if someone gets killed now, is that the time he died and the order him for die for death, or did he precede his death by dying at an early age rather than dying from the old age? Was it the time he was supposed to die in? put it up. A bank falls upon them. They're 20, 30, some, most of them are infants and innocent people, young kids who are dying. Is that the time of their death? Was that the time of their death? For sure, the Mu'tazila disagree. This statement is a reply to the Mu'tazila. The Mu'tazila believe if someone got killed or he drowned, that wasn't his full lifespan. He didn't live out his lifespan. No, we say if he's 3 months old and he died, just like all of you said, it's common sense. But the Mu'tazila come, and this is a reply to them, the Mu'tazila come and say, no, that person did not live his life. But someone who drowned lived his life. Someone who got killed lived his life. And you know, this really puts your ease. It makes you live life at peace too. Because, for example, I know I probably mentioned the story of someone I know who died from cancer about 2 months ago. I mentioned the story a few times, but I mentioned it this time. You know, he went to the hospital, strong man. And when he got to the hospital, they said, we do some exam, you go back. Strong man, he works out, he does everything. As soon as he went in the hospital, they said, you got maybe 2 weeks, 6 months, maximum to live. He lived maybe 3 weeks after that day. Now his family I've seen that. Now, you know, we just found that a few weeks ago. We could have took him to the doctor, and the doctor would have found that he has cancer. They did chemotherapy, and he would have lived a normal life. They would have killed the cancer in his stomach, and would have killed it. No, don't think like that. It makes you live at ease. You're not gonna find out 2 weeks of before. Because Allah wants him to die on that day, he's gonna die on that day. So rest in peace, you know? Don't stress yourself. And that's what I told them. Don't stress yourself out. No, you are never gonna ever be able to find out that he had cancer if Allah wanted him to die on that day. Even if you took him to the doctor 2 weeks or a year before that and he found out he had cancer, that's the day he's gonna die. That's the day he's gonna die. So don't stress yourself out. Live at ease and peace. And that's what this aqidah is trying to teach us. A problem we have over here. We know now the proof. We know now when everyone dies, that's his time. ones that whoever visits his family or does see Abraham and visits his family, Allah will give him a longer life. Surah Al-Rahim Tazidu Fil Umar. That's a weak hadith in this way, but it comes in other hadith where the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in other strong hadith where the visiting of one's family will expand in one's lifespan. What is Surah Al-Rahim, first of all? Imran, what's Surah Al-Rahim? What do we mean by that? Specify from the Hadith class. Okay, good. Yes. principles of faith abide and talk about this specific matter, but the things that we are talking about applies. Which is, yeah. That's what you said. Same thing applies with the heart. Son of the Rachim. He's gonna die when he's 40. And the Lord, before the creation of the sky and the earth, he's gonna die at 40. Then, at 39, he's gonna go and visit his uncle who he hasn't visited yet. So because he did that, we're gonna let him live to 60. That's the way it goes. So, even though Emily's stand in his life, it's already in the book. That's one explanation to it. That's one. The second explanation to it is that Emma does change it in the book. Which book? Which one? Which, no, and that book doesn't change. Which book? The one the angels. There's two books, the no, and that book, and the ones the angels have the past 20 years. That one can change. You've lived up to 40, 21 years. Because he visited his family. The others come down at 20 more years. How many points do you guys have now? Sorry, how many points do you have under here now? Four? Okay, we got five now. There's a verse in the Quran where Allah says, وَمَا يُعَثَّرُ مِنْ عَمَّرْ أَلْيُنْكَثُ مِنْ عَمَرْ وَمَا يُعَثَّرُ مِنْ عَمَّرْ وَمَا يُعَثَّرُ مِنْ عَمَرْ
Yeah, and then
water, we give another person a short life. It's not talking about the same person. That's one tafsir according to scholars. وَمَا يُعَمَّرْ مِنْ يُعَمَّرْ وَمَا يُنْكَفُ مِنْ عَمَرِهِ عُمَرٍ أُمَرْ And we go back to the same person, it goes back to another person, meaning we have two people here, one of them has a long life, and another over here, who we take away from his life to go with someone who lives 20 or 30 years. So someone who lives a long life,
Yeah.
according to those who say this is one person, yes, Allah changes in the book, not the book of Allah in the hand, the book that the angels have, that it has the tasks of 1 year's worth of tasks for the angel. So, Allah says, Yamhu changes. وَيُفْدِ and keeps it confirmed as it is. وَعِنْدَهُ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ he has the mother of the book. The mother of these books is Lawh al-Mahfuz. Lawh al-Mahfuz. And as you know, the book we're talking about that the angels have is the qadr Allah puts upon you for that year. That's why one of the reasons we worship, that's the reason Layth al-Qadr is called Layth al-Qadr. Layth al-Qadr, your destiny. What destiny are we talking about? Isn't your destiny written before the sky and the earth was written? Yeah, it was written. But this is the destiny that Allah gives the task from on top of the southern sky to the angels who write the tasks in their books. What to do for this 1 year? That's why you worship Allah for Allah will, you know, put your barakah and do good for you in the year. That book that the angel has, yes, could be changed. Could be changed by the will of Allah, but the original book, the mother of the book, Allah in that form never gets changed. So he wants to explain this to me now. He wants to explain it to me. Explained it to me. Actually, he wants to explain the whole thing to me from the beginning to the end. All the points we took 5 points. He wants to explain a lot to me, quickly, briefly. It's really not nothing hard. The first thing we took five. That's not a point, that's the first thing we took, the first thing is the cliff. We took 5 verses. Second one, I break it down to you like this, you know. If you take a dog in the books of Akiva, you're not going to know the beginning from the end. If I break it down to you like this and you still can't understand it, we got a problem here. The second point, and yeah. That everyone's lifespan, when he dies, that's the time Allah allows him to die. Unlike what the Mu'tazila say, what does the Mu'tazila say? You don't live your life has a goal to it. Some of them we know the goal of how some of them we don't. This one in particular was a reply to the Mahavishnu who says someone who died by getting killed or by murder or by drowning, he didn't live his lifespan. He still had a life which he didn't live. The third point. Sunnah to Rahim, what do we say about that? Okay. What's the explanation? The Sunnah to Rahim adds to your life. We said the time is fixed. How do you explain that?
Yes.
who's happy? Someone is 60, someone is 40. So it's still talking about two categories of people. Okay, now take it to the next year where they're talking about one person. When I know person, then I'm gonna get my Spanish taken away. That same person. So what do we talk about? How do we apply to someone who says that? Changes it in the angel's book, or it's in a note in the book that he's going to live up to 60, or he's not going to live up to 60, when he's 40 he's going to die. It's already written in the book, not in the book, not in the book, never changes. The only thing that may change is what the other the angels have in their own books. Yes. And now I don't know. Probably, I personally don't know. I don't know if we have any proof on any specific name for it.
Yeah.
already know that that person's not going to live till he's 60. He's going to die when he's 28. What didn't happen? What do I mean by that? Give me an example. What a lot going to happen in my mind. What in the moment can I give you? Allah says about the people in the hellfire, they're liars. If we take them back to the night before, because you remember from the death section of the tree, they start screaming in hellfire, Allah, one more chance, one more chance. That never happened. It never happened. We're never gonna get another chance. But even though it didn't happen, he knows what's gonna happen if you want to allow it to happen. What do I do? If you return, they're gonna do back exactly what they did before. That's example of number three. So Allah knows what happened in the past. Allah knows in the present and the future, and Allah knows what didn't happen, if it were to happen, how it's gonna happen. Everyone understand that?
He ordered them to
وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. I created human and jinn to worship me. What's the meaning of worshiping Allah? Obey what he says and stay away from what he told you to stay away from. Another verse, please. God, please. الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا. Allah created life and death, which is us. Life and death, ليبلوكم, to test you. أيكم أحسن عملا. Who's the best of all doers? Who does the best of all deeds? Why? How can we do this if we don't know what he ordered us and what he refrained us all from? Chapter 1, verse number 2.
Your actions, you got.
aramada some people say, you know, Allah created me already knowing me. That's it. That's what the Allah told me. Allah said, no, the reply to that is no. Allah created you. He has your knowledge. He has the knowledge of what you're going to do. His knowledge in that what you're going to do is not the basis of your punishment. His knowledge in what you're going to do is not the basis of putting you in heaven. It's the basis of punishment. Reward is your deeds, and you have a choice, of course, in your deeds. That's why we say, when someone goes to hell, what do the people call him? Haji. It's not right to call someone Haji, but, you know, they're fucking us Haji. Or someone who prays. Sunna. He's a Muslim. Or someone who's a worshiper. Abi. Do we say Allah's the Abbot? He's the Abbot, because he did it himself. He's the one who has control of his actions. Allah created him, but he has the choice of doing good. He has the choice of putting the effort on time and walking out to the bar. And drinking at the same time the effort is, yes. What you end up choosing, Allah had the knowledge and wrote for it, yes. talking about Mashiach and will, and we need something with will directly in it. That's God pulled for it, but we need a direct pull with the will of Allah in it. وما تشاءون إلا أن يشاء الله. You will never will unless Allah wills. There's many of that in the Quran. One of them is in 76:30. وما تشاءون إلا أن يشاء الله. إن الله كان عليما حكيما. سورة 81 verse 26. Also this سورة 6 verse 11. ولو أننا نزلنا إليهم الملائكة وكلمهم الموتى وحشرنا عليهم كل شيء قبلا ما كانوا ليؤمنوا إلا أن يشاء الله. مين ولو ولو أننا نزلنا إليهم الملائكة. If we bring down 1,000 angels, وكلمهم الموتى, and the dead people get up and talk to them, وحشرنا عليهم كل شيء كبير, we gather everything up to them, so they can believe. ما كانوا ليؤمنوا بالنسبة انتهى وان ما what are you talking about? What is it? What are you talking about? That's what we're talking about. And to Allah, meaning this is going to happen only by the will of Allah. If ever happens, it will not happen unless Allah wills. Yes. Well, maybe if we finish this, you'll get the answer to your question. I think we will. If we don't, then tell me again, I'll answer, inshallah. Verse 6, number 11. All the verses are good, brother. Some people say, some sects say, that in the world for the kafir is Islam. And the kafir world for himself, kafir. So what does that mean? What does that mean? How long is the death and last day?
That means this is the Mu'tazila again saying that. You know, the end of the world, the ones who say the person creates his own action. He has no control, Allah has no control over his action. He creates his own action. End of the world, for him, So that means his will is on top of Allah's will. Of course, that's not right. We know that. How do you explain that? Did Allah will for a Catholic to be a Muslim? No? No? Very long ago. Yes, that's the explanation. I see everything we go back, you have to connect it back with stuff we took in the past. It's a chain. If you take this lesson, you forget something in the past, you're not going to understand. That's the problem with this. So yes, it goes back to Sharia. Allah will for everyone to be a Muslim. But that will is kawniyah. It doesn't have to happen. That's the will. Sharia is when it happens. So the will, you know, it's under Allah's will that he wants him to be a Muslim. But it doesn't really have to happen. Which one is it that Allah wants for everyone to be a Muslim? Don't look at your mouth. Don't look at your mouth. Sharia, why would you say it's Qawniyah? Qawniyah, we said, is all of Allah's will. We said the Sharia is the good one, the one that Allah really chooses for you. So Sharia, we said, could happen and it doesn't have to happen. We said Sharia could happen and it doesn't have to happen. Allah wills for everyone to pray 5 times a day. That's Sharia. He wills it. But does it happen? It doesn't really have to happen.
Worship other than Allah. And there's many
وقال الذين أشركوا لو شاء الله ما عبدنا من دونه من شيء نحن ولا آباؤنا كتب ورسل غير عام بأويد أعليس بصورة عند بسم الله تسكر ونزل نحن ثاني وقالوا لو شاء الرحمن ما عبدناهم ما لهم بذلك من علم إنهم إلا يخرصون بس الزخرف بس من بطوني الزخرف بس من الأنعام 148 النحل 35 الزخرف 20 So some people say it's because of that why you're forced to do what you're doing. And they say أَلَّا بِنَوْشْتَمْ إِنْ بِسُورَ أَلَّا بِنَوْشْتَمْ إِنْ بِلَرَ قُوشٍ of every one of these verses. Every one of these verses at the end of it, أَلَّا بِنَوْشْتَمْ to talk about that. Why you guys use this as proof when Allah and the Anqar denounced you for saying that. And they say Allah didn't denounce us for attributing his will and forcing him to be in shirk. He didn't denounce us for that purpose. He denounced us for attributing shirk to Allah. This is what they say. This is, deviant sex, and amongst them is the Mu'tazila, but not only the Mu'tazila. So they say, Allah denounced them in these verses, but not because they attributed the will and the force to do shirk. Not because of that, because they attributed shirk to Allah. So that's why they were denounced. The point you should know about this is, first of all, there's two ways of Allah, and they think the way of Allah that he likes and pleases
under the corner.
the one that annihilates. So they take the Kauniyya, as something that Allah forced them to do, and that's not right. We already said about Kauniyya, it could happen, and it doesn't have to happen. So they take it that the Kauniyya must happen, meaning a kafir is a kafir because the will of Allah and Kauniyya, meaning the will of Allah and Kauniyya must happen. And we said, that's not true. The next point is that Allah denounced them also in all three of these verses for not following the Sharia. So how could you be forced to be a non-believer if Allah is denouncing you for not following the Sharia? How could Allah say you learn for not following this path if he forced you to do that? If he forced you to commit shirk, and if he forced you to do kufr, why would he denounce you if he forced you? If I forced someone to do something, I blame myself, I don't blame that person. So Allah blames them and puts the blame on them. And, I think the best way to explain that is a man came to Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anh, and he had stolen. And Umar told him, "What'd you steal?" He said, "Allah wrote in his book that I'm going to steal." Umar told him, "Okay, we're going to cut your hand because Allah wrote in his book that we're going to cut your hand." So Umar replied, "Yeah, Allah wrote in his book, but you have the choice. You have the choice to go and steal it." And he didn't have to go. The same with worship, the same with ibadah, the same with being a Muslim and a kafir, the same with being astray and on the right path, and the Lord in his book, he willed it, but you have the choice under your control, and Allah judges you by the actions and the that which is under your control." That's what Allah says in the Quran, كَذَلِكَ كَذَّبَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. These are liars. These are liars. That's why we go to people today, we tell them, pray, and when Allah wants, and they want to hold it for you. Is this what I know? But you gotta get up for me and do something about it. That's under your control. Allah said in the Quran, كَذَلِكَ كَذَّبَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Liars! Allah will say that. You tell them, come on, stop doing this. Stop going to the club. Stop going to the bathroom. When Allah wants it already for you. You have the choice to get up and change yourself. You have it, it's under your control. Surah Al-An'am 148. There's a problem under this statement, and this problem is that I the way you think, but pay attention, and I want one of you to solve the hadith for us. The beginning of the hadith is okay. It's a call between Adam and Musa. And Adam tells him, Musa is blaming Adam. And Adam tells him back to him, why you blame me for something Allah laid upon me before I was born? So they say, what does the hadith mean first of all? First of all, what do you take it to mean? As vague as it is right now. Adam and Musa have a quarrel, an argument. And this is a hadith, authentic hadith. We can't disapprove of it because it's an authentic hadith. Musa tells Adam, why did you do this to us? It's your fault. And he said, why do you blame me for something that was written upon me before I was born? So meaning, what is it? The Prophet commented on the hadith and said that Musa Adam has won the argument. What does he mean by that? Well, if this hadith is at face value, take it, that means we're forced to do the same. Because if they were falling back to the sin, then Adam was forced to eat from the tree. Forced. He says, why do you blame me for something Allah laid upon me before I was born? They use this. A lot of people use this. The problem here is that they weren't talking about that. What were they talking about? Leaving Jannah. MashaAllah. Leaving Jannah. See? And that's where you get the difference. Leaving Jannah. You dare attribute and say you are forced to commit a sin. You can't do that. Because that's your only choice. However, you may have atrocity or a trial and tribulation to happen upon you. That, you say, is by the Qadar. That was forced upon me. For example, someone sits in a gathering and sits older men backfighting with a group of people and does evil stuff. And then on his way back, he gets in a car accident. He can't say it was by the Qadar of me. It happened forcefully upon me that I sat in that gathering and did that sin. But he can say that about the accident. He can say that about the accident. That's how we get our patience, friend. The Qadar, the trials and tribulations that happen upon us. We can attribute it that forcefully happened to us. forcefully. Someone who gets in prison. Someone who has a family relative. It's the other one forcefully going to happen upon him. But the sin, you can't relate it in the same way. The sin, you have the choice in it. So Adam, alayhi salam, had the choice in the first one. And they weren't talking about the first one, which is Eden from Babel. They're talking about the second one, which is being taken from heaven, which all of us go through. We're not in heaven because Adam, alayhi salam, was taken out of heaven. The next point in this is the Qadariya. Again, I want to hear a brief summary. What did the Qadariya say? What is the Qadariya say? What's their belief? Qadariya?
Yeah, I have the chance in doing it or leaving it.
100% independent. It's independent of any human beings. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam endowed. And this is a reply to the deviant sects, you know, as I always tell you, and I will keep stressing out, because I don't want you to go to some sect, you know, some guy who doesn't know what he's talking about shit, and you say, oh, sounds good, you know. The Prophet Sallam has control of a portion of the world, and I want you, when you hear that in a lecture, or when a deviant comes in our local communities, immediately your immune system kicks in. This is a mushrik. This is a mushrik. I don't care how big his prophet is, or how famous he is, it doesn't really matter to us. What matters to us is that you know the foundation of your aqidah, your immune system gotta be strong. So, the will of Allah is independent and supreme of the will of everyone else, even the Prophet. When a man told the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ma sha Allah wa shi'at. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, What Allah wills and you will. He said, Did you make me a planet, Allah? Meaning, you can't say that. The Prophet, the best man, is not a wali. You know, you can't say he's a wali that lived in the 14th century and he reached a certain level or whatever it is, and he controls a portion of the earth and he can bring good and bad to you. That's a bunch of lies. If the Prophet Sallam says, You make me a partner to Allah just because you say, MashaAllah, what's it? He said, don't say that. In another hadith, someone said, MashaAllah, what's it? The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, don't say MashaAllah, what's it? Say MashaAllah.
I looked into Qatar, basically most of it
we're talking about Qadr. He said, I looked into Qadr, and I got confused studying Qadr. I found the most knowledgeable Qadr who refrained from going in depth in Qadr. And the most ignorant in Qadr are the ones who go in depth talking about Qadr. Some people take this issue of Qadr and it's reforced and are we not for? It's so easy. It's very easy. Allah has the will, gave you the will, and He gave you the choice. Everything's under Allah with you. Someone who mass murders, the problem in Iraq, the mass murder, the adultery, the drinking, all is under Allah's will. But no, they have the choice. President Bush can make a call to bring the troops back in here. He has the control. He has the choice. But it's all under Allah's will. So we have a choice, and that's a problem a lot of people don't understand. This is the issue of Qadr. You know, he breaks it down into statements as we go along. You'll get more knowledge about it, inshallah. But a lot of people take this to an extreme. And that makes becomes the only thing focusing in and this life is the Qadr. And keep the statement of Wahab ibn Munabbih in mind, where he says, you know, the most ignorant are the ones who go too deep into Qadr, and the most knowledgeable on it who stay on the surface of it. And with this I conclude, inshallah, if there's any statements remarks or criticisms questions you take on the show. Go ahead. choice. When you're going to be created, when you're going to be born, you have the choice to do this and that, but Allah knows which one you're going to choose. And then later on, we're going to know that Allah misguides people. And he guides people. And what that means, you know? But basically, just because Allah wrote it in his book, just because it's in Allah's prior knowledge, when you're born later on, it doesn't mean you're forced to do that. Allah has it in his book, it's prior knowledge, but you have the choice. You have the choice. Allah knows which one, because Allah's knowledge, I mean, fully knowledgeable, that means he knows which one of the two choices you're going to take. You know, basically, you know, we can't compare it to Allah's knowledge, of course. Basically, cliche, well, it's the knowledge. That's like me telling someone, don't jump in that fire. If you jump in that fire, I already know what's going to happen. You know? But he has the choice. I told him, don't jump in that fire. He has the choice to jump in that fire or stay away from that fire. I already know what's going to happen if he jumps in that fire. Allah has the knowledge, but he gave you the choice. You got the choice. One of them, the good or the bad, can follow along with it. Yes. Sharia, which one? This one?
Yeah, this guy is a statement, I don't know who
I'm not one person who say that thing.
Beneficial, and some of the plans that we know.